Welcome to the Midday. I'm Norman Gilliland here in our Buck studio with the fourth of the Final Forte finalists that we've gotten a treat to hear in the last couple of weeks. And today, we're going to be hearing the sound of the trombone from Charles Dieterle, and also we'll also have, by and by, the sound of the saxophone, and the piano is not far away either. And welcome to the Midday, Charles.
Thank you, Norman. Glad to be here.
You're from Madison, right?
Yes, I live on the west side of Madison near West High School.
Do you go to West then?
Well, I graduated from West.
And it was for West, representing West that you embarked on your wrestling career, or does that predate West?
Actually, that predates West by 1 year when I started at Bethlehem Central Middle School in New York. Yeah.
And before we get into the whole musical part of your life, how did you get into wrestling? What was the appeal?
Well, a lot of my friends were doing it in middle school, and I actually wanted to start in seventh grade, but I couldn't because I had a knee injury. So the next year, I was kind of rearing to go when I started wrestling, and I've been doing it ever since.
So 5 years now, something like that?
Yeah, 5 years, but I don't think I'm going to do a lot of it in college just because, as a music major, I won't have a lot of time.
But the two, I have a hunch, have something in common, right? They play off of each other somehow, wrestling and music?
Yeah, I'd like to think that at least the athletics that I do contribute to my musical recovery stages, at least. As a brass musician, my lips are often kind of beat to death at the end of some shows. So I like to think that as an athlete, my body is used to recovering. So it helps my lips recover.
Well, that's true. We hope that during the wrestling, your lips don't get too much of a workout.
Yeah.
And how's your record, should I ask? How's your wrestling prowess?
Well, on the varsity level, I'm not a superstar by any means. I was more of a 500 wrestler. I think my record this year was 17-16 or something like that. But I do have a claim to fame with some of my wrestling buddies as being a two-time JV state champion.
Oh, well, that sounds very impressive. So that's a lot of breakdowns and takedowns and that kind of thing.
Yeah, on the lower level, at least, I'm a superstar in wrestling.
Do you think it has helped you to be more competitive as a musician?
I don't think my competitiveness with wrestling really overlaps into my musical competitiveness because it's completely different thing. As a musician, I need to focus in my practice sessions, and that's where the work gets done. But as a wrestler, I think it's more about testosterone and giving it all you can and making your mind not block out your ability as a wrestler.
Even when you're playing jazz as a musician, it's probably not the level of improvisation that you would need in wrestling.
That could be true, but there are a lot of moves in wrestling that you actually plan out ahead of time.
Oh, so, really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can walk through every position that you could possibly be in and learn a move, how to get out of it, and what to do in that situation. It's not probably as improvised as you might think it is.
And this is wrestling that's all for real, too. There's none of the showbiz chicanery that you see in some other forms of wrestling, I gather.
Right, this is not professional wrestling. This is folk-style wrestling.
Now, you are going to be going where when you go to college in the fall?
I'm going to DePaul University in downtown Chicago.
And what attracted you? Was it Chicago or DePaul or both?
Well, it's partly Chicago, and I also had a very good experience with the teacher there, Mark Fisher, who is a member of the Chicago Lyric Opera.
And Chicago, I hear, is also not too bad a place for jazz, if you're interested in that.
Right. Yeah, DePaul is also a really good jazz school, so I'll be able to have access to jazz there when I'm there.
So what kind of music, then, did you play at West? Obviously, some classical in the, you know, to get to the Final Forte, but it sounds as if you branched out from that as a trombonist.
Right. Well, at West High School, I probably played more jazz than classical. I was in the honor band playing tuba, and sometimes in the orchestra, but I was in Jazz West, which is the big band at West High School, and I was also in the jazz combo at Dim Fom for 2 or 3 years.
You still play the tuba?
Yeah, I do still play the tuba.
Now, what makes you gravitate toward the trombone instead of the tuba?
Well, about a year ago, I kind of had to make a decision about playing one or the other because I had college auditions coming up. And I've been playing trombone for longer, and I feel a little more comfortable on it. So I just decided to put more time on the trombone. But I'm not ignoring the tuba by any means.
Well, let's just digress a little bit onto the tuba department then. What kind of things did you play for the tuba, and what kind of things would you hope to play on the tuba?
Well, the tuba I look at as a great way to get some possible jobs in the future. I'm more of a marketable musician if I can double. But I have played solo works for the tuba at solo ensemble festivals, and I've played some jazz on it, too. I've played it in some pop band settings, too.
Jazz tuba.
Yeah.
Well, you are, I gather, something of an admirer of this brass ensemble that we've been hearing on CDs and before that on LPs for many years now, the Canadian Brass.
Yeah, I think I can speak for most young brass players in saying that the Canadian Brass are a huge influence on everyone that plays brass nowadays. You know, they've been a group for 42 years, and they've revolutionized brass playing.
And how have they done that? I mean, again, they are great showmen, too, but yeah. Other than that, how?
It's partly their showman aspect of their shows. You know, they're very funny. People love to go see them. But I think it's mostly that they've gotten a lot of big names to arrange big charts for them. So, for example, Luther Henderson was a huge contributor to their music library, and that it's kind of catapulted the brass quintet into being a staple of the music literature.
Well, let's hear a sample that you've picked from the many, many recordings of the Canadian Brass. And this is a piece by Bach, which is, it's a big piece. And do you remember who is the arranger of this? It's one of the members, obviously.
No, I don't recall.
But this is not the way Bach wrote it, but it certainly carries through, doesn't it?
Yeah.
This Canadian Brass with a toccata and fugue in D minor. And there you have it, all the brass virtuosity you could ask for in the Canadian Brass performance of the Toccata and Fugue in D minor of Johann Sebastian Bach. We'll hear some live brass here in the midday from our Buck studio right after this on Wisconsin Public Radio. Back live in our Buck studio with Final Forte finalist Charles Dieterle, who is a trombone player of considerable note and has been inspired, as have many brass players, by the Canadian Brass. And he was the one who picked that Toccata and Fugue in D minor. The trombone is an instrument that goes way back, but I gather it really didn't come into its own until a couple hundred years ago in terms of being a solo instrument and one that you could really demonstrate your virtuosity with.
Yeah, the trombone, as you said, dates back probably 500 years ago. Actually, I was just in Vienna a couple of weeks ago, and at the Instrument Museum, they had a sackbut, which is the predecessor of the trombone, from the year 1557. But it wasn't until people like, say, Wagner and Mahler started writing big stuff for the trombone that it came into the orchestra. And even after that, that it's been a real solo instrument. You know, there's always been solos for the trombone, such as the tuba mirum from Mozart's Requiem, but it was never really in the front of the orchestra until the last 150 years or so, maybe even after that.
It takes a great player to inspire a great composer to write a great concerto.
That's true.
I guess there are two kinds of trombones. You have valve trombones, but in your case, and I guess the kind that most people think of when they hear the word trombone would be the slide trombone.
Actually, that's not correct. The valve trombone is a completely different instrument. It's got three valves similar to a trumpet instead of a slide.
Right.
My trombone is a slide trombone. Right. With what's called a trigger valve, which lowers the instrument by a perfect fourth. And it's just to facilitate the low range, basically, and it adds some alternate positions for different notes. But it's not a valve trombone. It's still a slide trombone.
And so is it easier to do glissandes with a slide trombone than with many other instruments?
Oh, it's much easier.
You just slide.
Exactly.
And so what kind of range are we talking about with the slide?
Well, the slide just covers the range of a tritone. So if I started on a B flat, I could glissando down to an E. But if you, say, push the valve halfway down, you can do what's called half valving, which makes a kind of fake glissando. And then you can pretty much gliss throughout your entire range. Trumpets can do that too, though.
Are there any glissandos in this trombone concerto by Lanny Grindal?
No, unfortunately, the glissando is not a widely used effect in the classical trombone repertoire, but I'm sure you'll hear some glissandos later on when Will and I are playing.
All right, we'll get to that. We have musicians in reserve here. We're going to bring in pianist Vincent Fu to play with Charles the first movement of Lanny Grindal's Trombone Concerto. Well, maybe no glissandes in there, but certainly some nice stuff to show off in the first movement of Lanny Grindal's Trombone Concerto, as played by my guest today on the midday, Charles Dieterle, and with him at the piano, as he will be another time in a few moments, is Vincent Fu. And now we'll hear more from Charles Dieterle, one of the Final Forte finalists, the fourth and final forte finalist from whom we'll be hearing, having gotten to enjoy the music of the other three in the last couple of weeks during the midday. And now, having heard a sort of, I think I could say, a fast and, headlong movement, you have something that's slower and more lyrical. This comes from a composer not familiar to many of us, a contemporary composer, Jacques Castaret. And what about him? What does he do for the trombone?
Actually, I'm not sure about the history of Castaret very much, but he did write this very important sonatine in the trombone literature. It's played by undergrad students and grad students, and it's probably on some auditions, too.
And what attracts you to this particular Andante Sostenuto movement?
Well, I needed something to contrast with the Grindal, and at first I was thinking of playing the first movement of the Castaret, but the second movement, I think, is, in comparison with the Grindal's first movement, it's very placid, and it's a nice contrast to it.
Second movement, Andante Sostenuto, of Jacques Castaret's Sonatine for Trombone, and work that, as you say, Charles, provides a good contrast with what we heard, the Grindal Trombone Concerto, first movement that we heard a few minutes ago. And the visual here would be that just before the end of that piece, you put in a mute. How often does that happen where in the middle of a performance you kind of retool the trombone?
Well, it's not all that uncommon, actually, to use mutes. I'd say it's a lot more common for a trombonist to have a vast repertoire of mutes when they're in a pit orchestra for a musical. But there are definitely pieces out there that use, especially contemporary pieces, use a nice variety of mutes in the solo repertoire.
So how many mutes do you have in your arsenal?
I have 6 mutes in my room.
And what kind of different effects do you achieve with those?
Well, they're all just used to get different sounds. You can make a trombone bite more. You can make it sound muted. Well, muted. You can make it sound muffled. There's the variety of mutes I have is a bucket mute, a straight mute, a cup mute, a practice mute, a Harmon mute. The Harmon mute was used by Miles Davis a lot. They're for all brass instruments, of course. And the last mute I have is the silent brass practicing mute, which I use just to silence myself when I'm in a hotel or something.
Oh, really?
Like that.
How convenient. Is that common for other brass players to have a silent mute?
Yeah, it's pretty common to have a silencer mute if you're a brass player because, you know, people tend to get annoyed.
Those hotel walls can get pretty thin.
Yeah, I've gotten at least one call from playing in a hotel room.
Well, we're going to hear more from Charles Dieterle, and we're going to add the sound of the saxophone. And we've brought up from our musical forces here in the studio Will Green playing tenor sax. And do you guys play together often?
Yeah, Will and I have been in a duo that we call Spontaneosity for a couple of years now, and we've spent many lunch periods together playing.
And what kind of things do you play? Is it mostly jazz, pop, that kind of thing, or...?
It's mostly jazz, improvised music, but we do have some originals that I don't think you could fit into a genre.
Well, that seems to be more and more the case, and I think we'll be getting to one of those a little later, right?
Yeah.
Beatrice by Sam Rivers, I gather, is something of a standard.
Yeah, well, Sam Rivers is a very famous tenor saxophone player that actually passed away last year at the age of 86, I believe. This tune he wrote for his wife, and you can hear in the melody that it's a very special melody, and I think he thought his wife was a special person, and you can hear that, and it comes through.
And, well, let's hear it. This is Beatrice by Sam Rivers for trombone and tenor sax. Beatrice by Sam Rivers. No lack of low notes in that one. And that was the sound of the trombone, played by Charles Dieterle, and tenor sax, as played by Will Green. And if you were to add a third instrument to that, gentlemen, what would be your first choice?
Personally, I would add a piano, because I think a piano in itself can be a rhythm section. You don't need a drummer to keep time. If you have a piano that's good at comping, you can do that.
What do you think, Will?
Well, I might disagree just a little bit. I would probably add a piccolo.
Ah, piccolo.
Yeah, to have a just the contrast in the range, I think.
Shrill notes in there to kind of add some texture.
We the tenor sax and the trombone are relatively in the same range, and I think that just having an extreme in there would make us even more extreme and radical.
Well, that's true, again, because you have so many low notes in that piece that if you added a piccolo, you'd certainly cover the range, wouldn't you? Well, think about that next time you work up a performance. Now, this is something you have co-authored, right? The Chuckton Blues?
That's correct. It's pronounced Chuckton Blues, because Will calls me Chuck sometimes, and his middle name is Anton, so we decided to combine those.
Ah, okay. Yeah. I was wondering where that came from. I thought it was, you know, maybe a community in upstate New York or something.
Yeah. No, it's actually gone through a bunch of names, though. It's based on the whole tone scale, so at first we called it Whole Tone Blues, but that was a little bit lame, so we decided to rename it Watertown Blues and Water Tower Blues, just because those share the same letters as Whole Tone. But eventually, we found Chuckton to be a good name for it.
Okay, here it is then, Chuckton Blues by my guest today, and played by them, Will Green, tenor sax, and Charles Dieterle, trombone. Chuckton Blues. Did I get that right?
Yep.
as played by the composers Will Green and Charles Dieterle. And where are you going with your musical career, Will? Now, have you graduated from West High?
Yeah, I just graduated this June. I will be attending McGill University in Montreal, Quebec.
McGill. Now, what made you choose McGill? Of course, that is a strong music school, I guess.
I'm actually not attending the music school there. I'm in their Faculty of Arts. But the music scene in Montreal itself is a very creative, healthy place for music these days. And so that definitely attracted me there. The school has strong programs. It just seemed like a good fit.
And you're going to, do you plan to stay with then the saxophone as a specialty, or are you also going to be one of these diversifying musicians?
I play the guitar as well. I consider my guitar my main instrument. Ultimately what I want to do is be a working musician.
That's sometimes a contradiction in terms, isn't it?
Yeah, well, these days, there's not a lot of work sometimes, but... I'm studying other things to see how that suits me, but I hope to come back to music in the end.
Well, you guys going to get another chance to collaborate?
I hope so.
Yeah.
Will and I have kind of been, you know, best music friends for the past 3 years, so I can't see us splitting apart anytime soon for any reason.
Well, I gather
except
it's...
for living in separate cities. Yeah. But when we're in the same place.
I gather it's a little easier than it used to be, at least, to collaborate. I mean, you've got
the
internet.
We'll just do Skype rehearsals.
Well, Skype. Well, that's true. I didn't even think about that. But Skype certainly would be a way to work together that would be pretty convenient. That would be certainly high tech. And so what are you doing with your summer in the meantime? What's left of it, I should say.
Well, I'm going on a river rafting trip in a few days, and I'll probably hold a recital in late August to finish out my summer before going to college.
I've just been working at the zoo and trying to play as much music as possible.
At the Vilas Zoo?
Yep. Come on down. I'll sell you a hot dog.
I'm not going to ask how that ties in with playing the sax. I don't think these things always have to be directly connected, do they?
No, they don't.
Well, it's been a lot of fun having you today, and good luck to both of you. Don't know that you need the luck so much as you've got the talent and the stick-to-itiveness, but it's been a great pleasure having you with me today. My guests have been Final Forte finalist Charles Dieterle, and he's the trombonist, and then we had also Will Green, just now playing tenor sax, and earlier, pianist Vincent Fu. Thanks to all of them for participating in the midday today.